Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, along with Dustin Hawkinsmith. Dustin, we've got to start the show today with an apology. Believe it or not, last week I deprived our listeners of the wisdom of Dustin Hawkinsmith. I screwed up. This changeover of the calendar to the year 22, I messed up the dates on files. I was still putting down 21. So a lot of people missed out on hearing you on our show last week. And for that, I apologize.
To everyone. You owe everyone, to me, to our listeners. But I did decide when you told me this the first time that I'm going to bring double the personality this week. So you got to make up for it somehow.
All right. I'm sure our listeners are looking forward to that, Dusty. And I promise this week not to make that same mistake. I may make another mistake, but I'm not going to make that one. If you do want to go back and listen to the show, though, it's all been repaired. You could go back and listen to Dustin if you want to hear more about the Outback Bowl. And who doesn't, Dusty? For those of you who want to listen to this show, though, we're going to talk about the more recent news. And Dusty, it starts with the retirement of Dwight Gault, a guy who has had a major effect on this program. It can't be a good thing that he's going to retirement. Maybe good for him, maybe good for his family, but it does leave a hole in the program, doesn't it?
It does, and this was a guy who so clearly had all of the trust of James Franklin to follow him to a couple different locations, and you know the way that James Franklin allows him to speak about players and things like that. He was definitely a right hand man type of guy, and more than a strength coach. And I think, you know, that was one of the good things that we have learned from Dwight Gault over the years, is just how blurry that line is between being a football coach and a strength coach. Because, you know, to hit certain strategic objectives on the football field, you have to hit certain strategic objectives in the weight room too. And that could be one good example is just preparing quarterbacks to run more and preparing quarterbacks to be able to have at the same time, you know, a looseness in their shoulder that they can make all the throws too. So the strategies, you know, more and more between coaching them technique and football and coaching them, you know, to get stronger, faster, all that. The lines were very much blurred, and he was outstanding at his job. There is such a long list of guys who, from the time they arrived as freshmen until the time they left or the time they hit the NFL draft, had changed themselves completely. And you know, I feel pretty confident that there's a contingency plan in place. We all knew that Dwight Gault wasn't going to coach forever, but it did feel a little bit blindsiding to hear this last week. But, you know, there's always going to be change in the offseason. There's always going to be change within a coaching staff that includes support staff positions and strength coaches too. How well a program does, how equipped that program is to continue moving onward boils down to the head coach and how James Franklin hires for these positions. And it looks like there's a pretty good internal candidate in place there, but they might look outside the program too. But, you know, not the only change this offseason. Maybe not even the last one. So
I actually look at it this way, Dustin. I would think that strength and conditioning program is set up in such a way that if there's an incumbent, if there's somebody there ready, probably ready to take over, and technically, you know, the bells and whistles and everything, how Dwight Gault did them, I think you could follow that up. But, and I don't know if I'm reading too much into this, but also the strength and conditioning coach has more access to the players than the other coaches do during the off season. And you just wonder also if Dwight Gault, with that access, becomes more than a coach, almost like a mentor to these players. He's been there, he's seen it all. And if there's a guy who could say, hey, new running back, here's what Saquon did. When he was here, here's how he got to become Saquon. And when you hear the guy who was there with him say that, that's a pretty strong message and one you're probably going to follow, correct?
Yeah, and there's credibility with somebody who's worked with all these different athletes too, who's led Saquon and Mike Gesicki and Jason Owe and KJ Hamler and all these guys to, you know, he has gotten them better. He's gotten them to the place and played such an important role in their rise as football players. And then the other part of it too is, you know, we're going to talk about early enrollees on this show. When these guys show up on campus and classes start on Monday, their introduction to college football, it really starts in the weight room. And so the strength coach has that responsibility of getting the best out of these guys and giving them that introduction in a way that they're not going to love. You know, strength and conditioning, you've seen it a bunch of times from players. That's not something that they all look forward to doing. And it was a really cold arrival for some of these guys, especially the ones who didn't do a lot of strength and conditioning work at the high school level. You know, your new guy is going to be the one who ushers them in a way that they don't like.
And when James Franklin says we need to be the best 365 days a year, this is one of those elements that he's talking about. All right, Dustin, changing topics here. There was the All-American Bowl this past weekend, and Penn State was well represented with the class of 22, weren't they?
Yeah, four guys there, and you saw in all the one-on-ones leading up and the buzz that came out of it, Penn State was very well represented in the optimism category too. Drew Aller doing what he does and makes all the throws that he can make and make it look easy and off platform and just a flick of the wrist. All the stuff that we've come to know about him was on display in a situation where, you know, A, there was national attention, and B, it was against other All-American players. So there was a new level of kind of credibility that came with what Aller was able to do. Same exact thing with Nick Singleton. We have come to know his game inside and out, what makes him such a special player, what made him the Gatorade National Player of the Year. And he did it against, you know, high-level competition. He stood out for his physical ability, and that's hard to do. Deni Dennis Sutton was a guy who I think had one of the better weeks of any player down there. Really showed himself to be an underrated player. He had some injury stuff this past year, but really showed what he was able to do, winning one-on-one matchups. And then Keon Wiley, you know, his continued progress at linebacker occurred down there. So I think all in all, you know, not only did Penn State have a really good group there, they played really well, and they played well in the practices and in most cases played really well during the games too.
And during the game, I watched some of it, Dustin, and I know there were a couple plays where Aller may have looked inaccurate with his passes, but most of the time it seemed like it was just a little bit of miscommunication between himself and the receivers, where they would cut off the route a little too quickly, things like that. But you did see what a big arm he had. And by the way, he's a pretty big guy. So I don't think there should be any negative talk coming out of that All-Star game. Penn State was well represented, and we'll talk about it a little bit more in our next segments or later in the show, where some of these players may end up seeing the field as early as this season. There are things to look forward to. Another news item that came up in the last couple days, Dustin, was Aeneas Hawkins has decided to step away from football. I know that there's a contingent of fans who would probably say, gee, we even forgot about him. He is a bit of the forgotten guy. But this is a guy, prior to all the injuries, I think we were looking forward to seeing him play.
I had a good feeling about him, you know, and obviously if a kid signs to go to Penn State, you know, he's going to offer some good reason to feel good about where he could go. I mean, ultimately, I think he's going to be one of those guys who's held up as a lesson that injuries, if they continue to accumulate and they stand in the way of progress and they don't allow you to get any career momentum going, this is something that can happen. And I think Aeneas Hawkins went through some injury stuff. You know, he wasn't he was listed around 6'2", 280 pounds. I mean, I don't think you looked at him as a guy who had a ton of margin for error. You know, there are some guys who can miss some time or miss whole seasons at a time and be able to bounce back because they're special athletes. And not to say that he's not a special athlete, but as far as defensive tackles go, you know, he was on the small side, and he needed things to go a little bit better for him when it comes to development and health. And this is what you ended up seeing. Two career games from my count, was a developmental squad guy. Big personality. I think he looked to me to be viewed really favorably from his teammates, you know, looked to be a good teammate. I feel like he's got some good things in store. He's a broadcast journalism guy, so he'll probably buy this show someday and clean house and get rid of all of us and replace us with higher upside talent. Maybe because we're making these types of comments about him right now. So stay tuned for that. But yeah, I think how health can derail development, you know, and this is something that Nick Tarburton was 3-4 years behind the scenes grinding through this on his own. And, you know, Penn State doesn't talk about this stuff very much. So you're left to wonder sometimes if a guy just doesn't have it, if he's getting beat out, or if he's been hurt a lot of time. And I think Aeneas Hawkins falls into that latter category.
Oftentimes when someone just seems to disappear from the scene, it could just be injury, and we know, as you alluded to, James Franklin doesn't like to talk about the injuries. But it does lead you to the whole conversation, Dustin, of the defensive tackle position and where we're at. This was last week, and we had talked about it with the other guys, but P.J. Mustafa has said he is coming back. If it's healthy P.J. Mustafa, that is a huge help to the defensive line. But I don't think we could just assume that will be the case.
Yeah, and that's tough. I mean, you know, we don't know the exact nature of the injury, but this is what it boils down to for a lot of guys over the course of their football careers. If they're a college player or an NFL player, at some point in time, your ability to rehab and get back to where you were, or even be better than you were before, is going to be something that you have to encounter. And PJ Mustafa, I feel good about him. I mean, he's a special athlete who at 325 pounds is powerful and explosive. I feel confident that he'll get back to that form. And he was playing unbelievable football this past year before he did get hurt. So now you plug him in there and you look at, you know, some of the guys who were able to get more reps as a result of him being injured, and as a result of Derek Tangelo sitting out the bowl game, Kaziah Izzard and Devon Ellis were two big time beneficiaries. We don't know if Akeem Beeman will be back next year or not, kind of a strange situation, but Amin Vanover, Fatoma Mulba, Cole Brevard are all pretty talented guys. Jordan Vandenberg, I think, should get a longer look based on what he did in the bowl game too. So I like the mix. I think you could probably bring in another big, strong veteran like a Derek Tangelo and really feel good about this group. And I think the group got better because, you know, the silver lining was more snaps for more younger guys.
Exactly. It really was. But it all becomes so much better if PJ Mustafa comes back healthy and ready to play. It's a different set of defensive tackles, if that's the case. That is it for quarter number one. And the news, stick around, quarter number two, we're going to be talking about the college football championship and potential expanded playoffs. Stick with us.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.